Hello, my name is Ian Alexander, and this podcast is entitled Gore, Saw, or What? Let's begin with a dialogue. "Ah, the new vending machine," said Sam, the sales manager. "Obviously, it needs to let the user put in coins and push one button to get lemonade and another button to get chocolate." "It'll have to give change," said Sarah, the systems engineer. "Our machines always do. That means we have to check the coins with the standard Rogers and Smithson coin counter subsystem, of course. And what about credit and debit cards?"
"Why do we need a button for each item?"
asked Henry, the human-machine interface engineer.
"We could just have a plexiglass tray for each item, so you directly pull out the one you like."
All that would make it large and expensive," said Sam. "I want something cheap and simple that we can fit in everywhere. Bus stations, subways, office meeting areas."
But if we don't give change, our customers won't be happy," said Martha, the marketing manager.
As Sam's teams found, requirements seem simple until you try to write them. Then suddenly all sorts of problems arise. Project goals are unclear, stakeholders' priorities differ, people make unspoken assumptions, people interpret meanings differently, testers complain, requirements cannot be verified. Much more trouble arises later on, too, as projects run late or deliver software that fails to satisfy its users. Competing schools of thought advocate different approaches to solve this requirements engineering, or RE, puzzle. Among the many suggestions are stakeholder-oriented RE, or SOAR, notably in Peter Checkland's soft systems methodology, goal-oriented RE, or GORE, such as in iSTAR and Chaos, scenario-oriented RE, or SCORE, as with use cases, user stories, and concepts of operations, priority-oriented RE, or POR, such as with business cases, cost-benefit, and triage, context and event-oriented RE, or CORE, typically with traditional context diagrams showing incoming and outgoing interfaces and externally visible events that occur at those interfaces. All of these XOR methods range from quite informal, such as with scenarios, I'll give you an example in a moment, to fully defined. A scenario for Sam's vending machine could be called buy lemonade. The traveller wants refreshment in a subway, the traveller sees a vending machine or VM, the VM displays a list of refreshments on sale, the traveller or customer presses the button for lemonade, the VM displays the price of lemonade, the customer inserts coins in the slot to the displayed value, the VM checks and counts the coins, the VM dispenses the goods, in this case a can of lemonade. This sounds simple, obvious, and inevitable. I'd like to give you a hint that this appearance is deceptive and that instead, any element-oriented method on its own can lead to serious mistakes. The more formal RE methods describe how to proceed from early indications of stakeholder need through to detailed specifications. They include models which can be checked automatically for consistency and for certain kinds of omission. For example, a goal model can show a circle for the customer containing goals like select goods, another for the vending company with goals like dispense refreshments and take cash, not to mention credit and debit cards. The goal model can also show a circle for the thief with hostile goals like steal goods and forge coins. These threaten the company's top-level goal to which all the others contribute, namely make profit. We can draw red arrows marked with minus signs to distinguish these goal interactions from the rest. A tool could then check whether each threat from the thief has at least one mitigation, such as that we check the coins to mitigate the threat of forged coins. But focusing on one element of RE risks ignoring concerns best addressed by other elements. It is striking that each element brings both a set of clear advantages or benefits and an equally significant set of disadvantages or risks. For example, stakeholder-oriented SOAR is great for identifying political, economic, social and cultural forces which drive design. But against that, it does not directly create a precise, verifiable description of system requirements suitable for writing into a contract. Peter Checkland's soft systems methodology is a fully worked out approach that majors on stakeholders. To take just one more example, scenario-oriented SCORE
is really good at saying how design will deliver results to human operators. It identifies procedures for normal and maintenance operations, as well as for training courses and operating manuals, which is a lot of uses for one requirements element. SCORE has been advocated by Ivar Jacobson, Alistair Coburn and the object-oriented community with use cases, as well as Mike Cohn and the agile community with user stories. But on the debit side, SCORE seriously overemphasizes product behavior. It runs the risk of ignoring non-functional requirements and non-operational stakeholders who may own show-stopping requirements. And there is a danger of premature user interaction design. If you look at the various XOR methods, you'll see that they're complementary. For example, we can draw a simple model of the vending machine's context, showing interfaces implied by the scenario and goal models. Its focus is on the vending machine itself, not the company. It makes explicit some design assumptions that Sam's team were making unconsciously, including security threats that lead to requirements for physical robustness and functions for checking coins. It shows payment going in and goods coming out to the customer. Similarly, it shows goods going in from the vending company in the person of the service technician and coins going out. The context diagram does not show the payment card interfaces that Sarah mentioned, so the context and goal models as currently drawn are mutually inconsistent. The team needs either to add the interfaces to the context model or to delete the functions from the goal model. A judicious combination of approaches is thus more powerful than focusing on any one element on its own. I've discussed examples of how three requirement elements, scenarios, goals, and context, can work synergistically. My book, Discovering Requirements, describes a much wider range of elements. In conclusion then, no single element-oriented method, or XOR, is guaranteed to work well everywhere. Projects might do better by looking at the questions they need to answer to create good requirements, and selecting the right combination of methods for their specific situation. Perhaps any attempt at a predefined best practice in requirements engineering, or requirements body of knowledge, is doomed to fail. There are indeed certain questions that every project should answer, such as who should be involved, what do they want, where do they disagree, what is needed most. But the existence of such standard questions does not mean that all projects must be alike. Goals are important. On an ill-defined project, a small amount of goal analysis has an enormous return on investment. But on better-defined projects, analysing goals may add little value. The same caution applies to every other XOR method. Requirements analysis is essential but costs time and money. Projects get best value for their investment when they apply just enough effort on each requirement element.